Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And they departed to their own country by another way. The Lord had warned the wise men in a dream not to return to Herod. He was a murderous king, but instead to go home by another way. Well, tonight, while we are still basking in this marvelous period of Christmas, when God's only Son came to be born among us, to live among us as a fellow human, to reconcile us to God by his sacred death. And yet at the same time tonight, we remember how Jesus, from his beginning as a baby, came into this violent people wanting to kill him, in particular, King Herod. And so on this very day, today, the 28th of December, we Christians remember the martyred baby boys of Bethlehem. We honor them as the holy innocents. But whatever violence is done in this God's world, he always has another way. A way of protecting and providing for his people in this life and unto eternal life, to be with the Lord and with all of his saints forever. And that other way is finally and conclusively Jesus Christ himself, our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. I don't have a children's message this morning, and maybe that's just as well. I don't see children except for my own grandchildren back here. But we do have, as some of you know, a tradition of a basketball theme that we bring into the service. And it's not just for Mike Lockerbie, but it's for some of the rest of us. And so tonight I want to tell you about a young man named Zach Hoskins. Grew up in Georgia, terrific basketball player, so great, in fact, that he has signed with one of the top teams in the country, the University of Miami, University of Florida Gators. But there's one really interesting thing about Zach. He has only one arm. So he plays his entire game with this arm and this hand. And he is incredible. He can shoot and dribble and play basketball at the highest level. When Zach was growing up, early on, his parents wanted to give him, you know, for his shoes, give him Velcro. Make it easier for the little fellow, right? No way. He's going to have laces. He learned how to tie his shoes with one hand. And sometimes for kids at school, he would demonstrate, you know, how he could do that. He, Zach, had been given by God an incredible determination. He was going to show what he could do with one arm, and he indeed has. Well, going back to the wise men, we're fairly familiar with who they are, these expert stargazers. They were from foreign lands out in the east. But it was only with God's guidance, presumably by the Holy Spirit, that they were able to find out that this star, that this new star in the sky, was in fact a sign of a new king who was born, and that was the king of the Jews. And so they went to the capital of Judea, the Jerusalem, the Jewish capital, and they inquired, where is this new king who's born the king of the Jews? Because we want to find him and worship him. So where is he? They went around asking this. We want to worship him. Well, understand, there's already a king of the Jews, and his name is Herod. And he's not about to have anybody else becoming king. So this guy, Herod, is an evil and murderous man. He's already murdered his wife and three of his sons, so you know he's not going to hesitate to do whatever he can to get rid of this baby king. So he consults with the Bible teachers and he says, well, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? They tell him, well, in Bethlehem of Judea. And so he talks with the wise men. He says, listen, you guys, you go there and you find the baby. And then when you come back, you tell me where he is, because I want to go and worship him too. Liar. He's not planning to worship. He's planning to kill. So the wise men go, and they follow the star. It stops right over where the baby Jesus and his family are. And when they get there, they fall down on their knees, and they worship him. And the scriptures tell us, by the way, do you remember this, that the day is coming when our Lord returns, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord, whether they want to or not. And we who believe in him and are waiting for him, we who can pray, come, Lord Jesus, we will worship him with great joy. Well, when the wise men have given their gifts to Jesus, and you remember what they are, there's three of them. What did they give him? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Oh, you all graduate from Sunday school. Good. They gave these very precious gifts to the baby. And then God warns them in a dream, do not go back to Herod. And so they went home by another way. Well, meanwhile, God is acting to protect the baby Jesus. And so he tells Joseph in a dream to go to Egypt and stay there until it's safe. In other words, until Herod is out of the picture, until he's gone. So Herod had found out not only where the baby was to be born, but when. Sometime in the last year or so. So when he realizes that he's been tricked by the wise men, he goes into an absolute fury, a terrible rage. He orders his soldiers to go into Bethlehem and find every boy baby under 2 years of age and kill them. And so the boy babies are slaughtered. Our hearts and our minds are devastated to imagine such a scene as this. In the Old Testament, we hear how Rachel, when her children were captured and taken into exile, she was mourning, crying, weeping, loud lamentation. She could not be comforted. How could anyone be so evil? Well, we only have to look around us. In these very days, there are men, women, and children who are being targeted and killed in Syria because they are Christians. Not long ago, in Newtown, New Jersey, we saw evil doing its very worst in an elementary school. Herod is not alone as an example of evil. As the great Bible commentator Dale Bruner points out, when the real king is resisted, when we resist the child, when we claim kingship for ourselves, innocent people are going to get hurt, especially children. And so it is that among us here in America, many innocents have not come out of their mother's womb alive. That is the tragedy we see around us. But what do we see when the word of the Lord challenges us to look inward? We find that Herod is not alone as an example of evil. Herod is what in my inmost being I am. Because even after I have been baptized and cleansed, and even after I have committed my life to the Lord, I am still infected with what the church calls original sin. As the psalmist put it, none is righteous, no, not one. Will anyone here who is without sin please cast the first stone? Is there anyone among us who was not in the crowd when Jesus was being tried before Pilate, who did not also shout, "Crucify him"? Our sin is deep, our need is great. And there is no way with all the self-help and all the effort in the world that any one of us can put ourselves right with God. But God has provided another way. We see it in how he drew the wise men to the baby Jesus. Here they were, outsiders, foreigners, pagans, practicing what to Jews were horrible things, divination, studying the stars. And what God did by the Holy Spirit, he brought them from the far country of unbelief to the Lord. Just as he continues to draw rebels like you and me and people from all over the world, every tribe and tongue, he brings them to God's other way. He brings them to the cross, where one death, the death of God in the now grown-up King Jesus, has covered all the evil we have ever done. To those who will receive this great gift, this amazing grace, we are forgiven. Against all the evil of this world and all the evil of our hearts, God has provided another way. Okay, but can we help but wonder what happened to those babies in Bethlehem, the holy innocents? Can we believe with the writer Madeline L'Engle, who pictures them laughing and playing and dancing with the Lord in heaven? And what about all the babies who have not survived in their mothers' wombs? Is it possible that they are with the Lord? Maybe some of you have read this book, Heaven is for Real. I want to tell you a little something that's in there. It's a book about a little boy named Colton who almost died during an operation, and he had the experience of going to heaven. And over a period of years, his parents, Pastor Todd and Sonia Burpo, were amazed by the things this little boy said he saw and experienced in heaven. And this was when he was just under 4 years old. One of the things he told about was, he said, you know, he said, I have two sisters. And his mom said, well, you've only got one sister and her name is Cassie. He said, no. He said, when he was in heaven, there was this little girl who just kept hugging him and hugging him. And she said, you know, she said, I died in mom's tummy. Well, when the Burpos heard this, you can imagine. They'd never told Colton about this miscarriage that Sonia had experienced, the worst thing she had ever gone through in her whole life. And they didn't even know it was a girl. Well, then little Colton said, yeah, and she doesn't have a name because she said you never gave her a name. Well, they didn't know it was even a girl. And they had a name picked out for a boy, but not a girl. They couldn't agree on one. So now that couple was talking about one day getting to heaven and giving that little girl her name. If you're thrilled by hearing a little bit of this, pick up this book and you'll find some other wonderful things about heaven that are very encouraging and very convincing. One more thing. Colton said that he met Jesus, even sat on Jesus' lap. He said, by the way, that his sister had been adopted by God. And Colton talked constantly about how much Jesus loves children. He'd wake up in the morning, the first thing he'd say, "Hey, Dad, you know, Jesus really loves children." And then about 10 minutes later, he'd be saying the same thing, that they'd hear it from him like all day. Yes, Jesus really loves children, and he provides for them. Whether it's tying shoes or shooting baskets or taking a little boy on a trip to heaven. Tonight, with the wise men, we are led again to the humble home of the baby Jesus. In our hearts, we kneel before him, rejoicing that he is king and we are not. He is the Savior, and we and Herod are sinners, and we need Jesus. May he, again, God's greatest gift at this time of Christmas, be so always. One day, he's going to come again, and he's going to lead us on the way to our true home for life eternal. And then, pray God, we will meet the holy innocents, and we will meet all the little ones that Jesus loves so much, that he really loves, just like he really loves you and me. Amen. Our hymn